justice to the word. Amen. We began a series last week on his ways are not your ways, are not our ways. We touched on the very necessary understanding that God operates in a dimension that necessarily makes his ways higher, better, and much greater than our own ways. We said that God is not a mathematical formula that when you put the figures in, you expect to get the same outcome all the time. God does not operate like a formula. And I made you understand by way of introduction last week that you can know a man's acts without knowing that man's ways. How many of you remember? I said you can understand a man or know a man's acts, what the man does. It doesn't mean that you know the man's ways. We as Ghanaians know one way or the other the acts of the president of the land. Once again, one way or the other. But nobody will know his ways more than Auntie Rebecca, because she gets to see him in ways that we are not privy to. Are you with me? And I said that knowing a man's ways is more important than knowing his acts. Because the acts, if you don't understand the ways on which the acts are founded, you may be making an egregious error. The first of his ways that we shared last week was that God is always on time. We said no matter what, God is always on time. That the only reason why you will feel you have delayed is only if you are comparing yourselves with other people. And that I made you understand that when they are running races at the Olympics, there are different heats, and people from the different heats who emerge winners in those heats don't always finish with the same time. Each of them finishes with a different time, yet they have won their own heat. And there's no rule that says that because in heat one, the guy who won finished with 9:50, everybody else must necessarily finish with 9:50 to be winners in their heat. Because somebody will finish with 9:50, another will finish with 9:60, another will finish with 9:70. By the end of the day, they are all emerged winners in their heat. And I said that if you can focus on your own heat and focus on your own race and not be bothered by what's happening in others, you realize that you are actually on God's time, God's right path for you. Somebody say, God is always on time. And I said that for the benefit of those who were not here last week, that God sometimes is quiet and you will pray and he is quiet, and you are sowing seed but he is quiet, and you are doing everything. Have you been there before? Like you are praying but he's quiet. You're doing everything that you in your mind you think must be done to attract his attention, but he's quiet. Those seasons are not seasons where he has forsaken you. Those are actually seasons where he expects you to trust him the most. Because it is easy to trust somebody that you are in constant contact with. It becomes more difficult to trust God when he's silent. That is what astounds me about the Hebrew boys who say that we know he has the ability to save us. But even if he doesn't, we will still not bow. In other words, our commitment to him, our trust in him, has nothing to do with what he does for us. Hallelujah. Today, we are looking at another part of God's ways, another expression of God's ways, and is that God is not taken by surprise. God cannot be surprised. It is antithetical to his nature if God can be surprised. It is, I'm looking for a much smaller word. It is against his very essence, his nature, because it is impossible for somebody to be all-knowing and still be surprised. Do you agree with me? If he knows everything, how can he be surprised by something that happens? Because he must have known that it's going to happen. Only people who are uncertain and people who are ignorant are those that can be surprised. That is why you can throw a surprise birthday party for somebody, because they don't know. Because they know it's their birthday, you are planning something, they are uncertain as to exactly what you are doing. So when you catch them unawares, we say surprise. You can't surprise God, because he is all-knowing. No event surprises him. No activity surprises him, because he cannot. You tell somebody he cannot be surprised. Which also must mean that whatever you are going through, it's not a surprise to him. Hallelujah. Whatever you are experiencing, it's not a surprise to him. The other day, when you fell sick, he wasn't surprised. The other day, when you were in the hospital, he wasn't surprised. Because if he's surprised, he cannot be God. Okay. Isaiah. Let me start with this. Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, 16.
Psalm 139:16.
Yes.
Thine eyes did see my substance.
Okay.
Yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
If you read NIV, to be better. So people can understand it in plain language. Psalm 139, verse 16.
Your eyes saw my unformed body.
Fantastic. Your eyes did what?
Saw my unformed.
Please talk to me. Your eyes did what?
Saw my unformed body.
Is this still a body if it is unformed? But your eyes still saw it before I even became a body. Go ahead.
All the days ordained for me were written in
all
your book.
All the days ordained for me were written where?
In your book.
In your books.
Before one of them came to be.
Before even one of them came to be. What that means is that even before you decided to come to church, God must have known you were coming to church. Mm. He must have known you were coming to sit on the seat you are sitting on today.
Okay.
There have been times I go and minister somewhere, and whilst we are in the car, I'll tell my pastors, in the church we are going to, on the third seat, fourth to the right, there is a gentleman coming to sit there. His name is called this. Remember this name. And when we enter the auditorium, I said, sir, get up for me. I see this name. He said, that is me. I am the one. Then they will start looking at my face and they are smiling. God knows everything. It is in his character to know. David said, all my days have already been written. You have written them already. So if you wrote them, you must know them. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, God cannot be surprised.
God cannot be surprised.
I need you to understand that it is one of his ways that he cannot be surprised. You may be surprised, but he's not. You see that heartbreak? He wasn't surprised. I'll come to your question soon. I know the question is, if he wasn't surprised, why didn't he do anything about it? We'll come to that part very soon. What are you talking about? But the first thing you need to understand, God is not surprised. Now, in Isaiah, God throws a challenge to all these idols and all these smaller gods. Isaiah 41, 22. Isaiah 41, 22 and 23. Isaiah 41, 22 and 23. NIV. Yes, and then you do John 13, 19. You hold that for me. Yes, go ahead.
Isaiah 41, 22.
Yeah.
Tell us, you idols.
What? Tell us who?
You idols.
Uh-huh.
What is going to happen?
Tell us, idols, what is going to happen. Go ahead.
Tell us what the former things were.
Tell us the former things.
So that we may consider them.
So that we'll consider
and
them.
And know their final outcome.
All right.
Or declare to us the things to come.
Or declare to us the things to come.
23. Tell us what the future holds.
Tell us what the future holds.
So we may know that you are God.
So we may know what?
That you are God.
Talk to me. So we may know what?
That you are God.
God is challenging the idols and he's telling them, if you people say you are God, now tell us the future. What is to happen? So that we will know you are God. In other words, to be God, you must know the future and be able to tell the future. Are we on the same page?
Yeah.
The difference between God's ability to say things in the future and that of these other ones is that for God, saying it also means that he has the power to enforce what he has said. So that everything aligns with what he has declared, then everything comes to pass. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Or do you understand me? Let me put it this way. If God says, in 2 minutes, Pastor Michael will get up from his seat. 1 minute after, God can cause the rain to begin to pour. That will make Pastor Michael get up from his seat a minute later, thereby establishing what he said earlier on was going to happen. If I say, I have seen this in the future, I have no power to make it come to pass. I am not God. The idols can have a picture of what the future looks like because of access to things in the spirit. But what they lack is the ability to enforce what they have seen. Hello?
Hi.
That is why somebody can go to another and say, kill this man for me. They have gotten a picture. They have killed you, but you are still standing. They have declared what they want to do, done what they want to do, but God has the overall power. He has all power belongs to him. And so he has what it takes to either enforce or disallow anything. That is why he is challenging them. If you once say you are God, declare what will happen and let's see.
But he says that do something, whether good or bad.
Do something. You do something.
So that we may be dismayed and filled with fear.
This is God, though. He said, you be okay, do something. God is telling them, do something before you die. Either good or bad, your choice, do something. So we will be dismayed, we will be surprised. You can't surprise God. And he's telling them that if you can declare it and speak forth and let it be established, then indeed you are God. Now, if God is saying, setting the criteria for knowing who God is, then he must, for him to be God, he must fit this criteria. Okay. He cannot be surprised. Someone say, God cannot be surprised.
God cannot be surprised.
Have you opened the John scripture? Now, this is the exact criteria Jesus Christ meets here. In John 13, 19. Yes.
I am telling you now before it happens.
Jesus is saying what? I am telling you now
before
it happens.
So that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am.
Then you will believe that I am. I am telling you before it happens. Because Isaiah, God said in Isaiah that declare it and let it happen. Then we know you are God. Now Jesus is conforming to what God has said, the criterion in Isaiah, and he's saying that, listen, I am saying the thing before it happens, so that now when it happens, you know that I am. From God's perspective, he's able to see the present, the past, the present, and the future all at once. The way you are watching a movie and it is still imagery, from God's perspective, he's able to see past, present, and future all at once. Why? Because he is he that was, and he that is, and he that is to come, and still is I am, all at once. I've confused everybody right now. Because for him to be effective at determining a future occurrence, he must relate whatever consequence of a past thing has happened into the future. This is what I mean. If you go and have unprotected sex, and you become pregnant, the pregnancy is a consequence of something that happened in the past. Now, for God to know that this lady got pregnant 9 months from today, God must also know what you have done 9 months prior to that pregnancy. That's how come he can see all at once. And that is why when he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. When he looks at you, he's looking at you from the perspective of your past, your present, and where you are going. And he has decided that I will still take you to the place, irrespective of your past and your story and everything that you have been through, of your tears and of your pain and of the rejection and everything that you have been through, of everything, all your experiences put together. Still, when I look at you, I will still hold you and bring you to an expected end. Somebody shout yes. So God cannot be surprised. I dare say that even your mistakes were factored into God's plan. Yeah? Did you hear what I said? Even your mistake, God factored it into his plan. Some of you, but for your mistakes, you will not be here. If you can walk perfectly, you don't need God. If you can make the right decisions all the time, you don't need God. Your mistakes have been factored into where you are going. Your pain is part of your story. That's why there can only be one you. No other person has been through what you've been through. The high times and the low times. It's all your personal experience. And you are the embodiment of these experiences. Hallelujah. That is why I tell people, I have a problem with pastors who want to copy other pastors. Have you seen them? They want to dress like them and talk like them and sound like them and behave like them. God saw you for you, picked you for you, and anointed you for you, only for you to become something else. If you wanted to create 3 Bishop Dags, you would have done it. But he chose him one and chose you two. For the uniqueness of who you are and your experiences to flow through the anointing that he has bestowed on you. God cannot be surprised. Question, if God is not surprised, why did I have to go through that pain? Answer number one, his ways are not your ways. Neither his thoughts, your thoughts. Answer number two, if you had the opportunity to see how he was seen, you understand what he did. If you see a child walking towards fire, what would you do? What would you do? Some people will scream. Do you know there are some children who cry when you scream at them? So when you scream at such a child, what would be the response? They will start crying. Do you know what their story may be? I was just walking and she shouted at me. But for you, by the blessing of where you are standing, you can see what is just about to happen, even before it does happen. And your shout is merely to save that child from impending danger. That is how God sometimes treats us. But our story is, I was just walking and he shouted at me. God cannot be surprised. Sometimes, I was praying with somebody here. Had an issue. We're praying and it's like the pain in the tummy area became so severe and more severe. Now, they went to check in the hospital and they said whatever was there was degenerating. That was why it was causing pain. Do you know the meaning of degeneration? It means that the growth there was dying. And because it was dying, it was a painful experience. And I told the person, I said, wow, what that means is that the pain is actually a sign of healing and not sickness. You understand? The pain she was experiencing was not sickness. It was a sign that she was being healed. Could it be that some of the pains we are experiencing is healing in disguise? The pain of rejection is God's way of saving you from fire that is ahead of you. That the pain of heartbreak is God's way of saving you from something that is ahead of you. You will not understand it today, but when you put all together, it will make sense. There are some of our mothers, some of our fathers, some of our relatives who are to leave us at a time that we will consider too early, time that we'll consider too soon, time that we'll consider it happened too instantaneously, broke our hearts and broke everybody else. But he saw it, and as painful as he knew it would be for you, he allowed it, because if it probably had happened at another time, the pain at that time would be more unbearable and you may lose your mind because of that than if it happens right now. Everything he does is for our good. I'm talking to somebody right now. Everything is for our good. Listen, there are some of you, 5 years down the line, you will start appreciating God for a lot of the things that he has done. 10 years down the line, you will come to understand why he says all things work together for my good. Because he needs the good things and the bad things to cooperate and work as a team. It is only in the realm of God that good and bad have to work together for his good. Hallelujah. Why me? It's another question people ask. And the answer to that is, why not you? When you are happy, do you shout, why me? When you have money, I've never seen any man who has money who's shouting, God, why me? I've never seen a man who just landed a job and said, God, why me? But it's only when a man is hungry, why me? Somebody scored a goal recently and had on his t-shirt, why always me? Question is, why not you? Because of the uniqueness of your path, it had to be you. Because of where you are going, it simply had to be you. Because of the unfolding of your story, it had to be you. Why not you? Because of where he's taking you, it had to be you. God, I am Daniel. After all the things I've done for you, why am I the one in the lion's den? Should we go and bring Nebuchadnezzar's nephew into the lion's den? Your path is different from him. And so it is you who will be required to walk those paths. And because he's not surprised, the good thing is this, that if he's taking me to a place, he must know the place well. Must have stressed past that place. Must have been to that place. Must have gone ahead to prepare me for that place. And must have confidence that I will come out unscathed from that place. And if God has allowed it, then it must be for my good. Job started his story as a man who was richer than everybody else in his generation. Did you see that one in your Bible? Yeah. Richer than everybody else in his generation. And holier than everybody else in his generation. He lost everything. Became probably the poorest man in his generation. At the end of his experience, he got double of what he had at the beginning. What that means, because at the beginning, if I had $1, sofo, and with $1, I was the richest man in my generation, and one has become two, what does that mean? It means God has now given me a gap between himself and whoever is second place. And for God to have done that, he needed to show him worthy to receive what he was looking for. There are many people who have God has decided to take them through some of these experiences, and they have decided to give up along the journey. Yeah, bleh. One or more bleh. I am tired. Enough is enough. There are experiences that are meant for you. He meant it. He meant it. He wasn't surprised by it. Yeah, you see, he came and asked, he said, Adam, where are you? Adam said, I've hidden myself for I've sinned. You think God didn't know this? Or didn't know that Adam had sinned? If he didn't know, how then does the Bible say that the Lamb of God had been slain from the foundations of the earth? Provision had already been made before Adam ever sinned. For God knew Adam is coming and had to make provision for Adam. He already knew. Hallelujah. What you are going through, he already knew and has made provision for you. One of the provisions he made is for you to hear the word I'm preaching today. So you can walk out with your chest out and your head held high tomorrow, knowing that indeed he is with me, he's walking with me. He's got me. Look, when it is all said and done, you will not be disgraced. You will not be disappointed. When it is all said and done, you will be blessed and you'll be celebrated. It is like that story of Jesus and the blind man who was born blind from their mother's womb. And he asked her, who sinned? He said, nobody has sinned. He said, then why? What is this? He says, so that his glory will be revealed. His glory will be manifested. Meaning that the whole thing that everybody looks down on the man, his experience of blindness or what have you, is simply a setup by heaven for the manifestation of glory. It is a route through which glory will be dispensed. Some of your experiences is a route for God's glory to be dispensed in your family. He chose you. Do you know some people have written you off already? Or you don't know? They have written you off already. Is that this one? He won't make it. Oh, this one, he will suffer. See the way they are struggling. Oh, see the way nothing good is coming. Oh, see the way if you want to eat, it's a problem. Oh, see the way they are struggling. And in their mind, they have written you off. You know what happens when your story is turned around? Those are the same people who go about blowing the trumpet the more. Now, what to say about you? What to say we were talker? What to say we knew Juma? What to say Nansen de Ohun Awo? That is what your story is about to become. That the Lord will use those same people. Have you been there before? That a certain group of people will rise up and condemn you and spread all manner of things about you. The next moment the Lord turns your story around, those same people are going around and they are spreading your story. I see testimonies like that coming for the people of God, where the Lord will employ people who are idle and have nothing to do with their time or their mouths and use them to propagate your blessing as he begins to cause it to unfold. Somebody shout, that is my story. It's about to happen, though. It's about to happen. I can't wait for us to finish this building. For certain people to go and propagate for us. Somebody said the other day in the area, I saw in Egu. Somebody said, oh, I'm going to die. Bubu. You're saying, I'm going to die. Whenever I hear it, I'm excited. For those same people. Then suddenly the story changed. Said, this building, movie a bear flipper, movie a bear, sorry. What are you talking about? Every experience is part of what we are becoming. Listen, don't give up midway through the journey. Don't give up midway. Don't throw in the towel midway. Don't stop running midway. The effort you have used to run the race so far, why give up now? Then you should have not started in the first place. But if you have begun and you have come this far, you better keep running. You better keep going. Keep your focus and keep going. Some of you, I'll be here to celebrate your breakthrough with you. We will be here together celebrating your breakthrough. Celebrating we'll be here. Tell somebody we'll be here. When your marriage comes, we'll be here. When your husband comes, we'll be here. When your wife comes, we'll be here. When your job comes, we'll be here. When your car comes, we'll be here. When your children come, we'll be here. When your money comes, we'll be here. When your business comes, we'll be here. When that breakthrough comes, we will be standing here with you. Somebody say, we will be right here. We'll be right here. Hallelujah. He is not surprised. I want you to close your eyes. You want to pray. That may he that is not surprised walk with you. May he that was and is to come be with you. May he help you to trust him every step of the way. May we become too fortified to be broken. Too strong to collapse. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice.
Thank you for listening to the Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. For more of these messages, please subscribe to his podcast and SoundCloud. It's Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. To interact with him, like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr.